while we're reading this morning, if you would, to Mark 5 this morning, Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading the first 15 verses this morning, and if you find your place there in the Bible, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to verse 15. Close of the service, and every young lady gets saved last Sunday morning after the service. She came out and confessed to us that she got saved in her seat, and so we was happy for that. And she's going to be coming at the end of the service, and we're going to ask you to come around and shake hands. Her sister asked this morning, said, "Will she get to shake hands with everybody?" Absolutely. So she'll be doing that this morning at the end of the service. Mark 5, verse 1, "And there came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjourn thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. And he had the legion, let's read this last part together, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Thank you for being seated. Our Father, we come to you this morning. Always a privilege, Lord, to try to preach the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for this passage in the Bible and the other passages, Lord, that you have put upon our heart to use with it today. And we ask that, Lord, today the Word of God would go out from the pulpit and find a lodging place in somebody's heart today. We thank you for the young lady that was saved sitting in her seat last Sunday. And Lord, we know that where we're at, our position is not as important as the condition of our heart. And we're thankful, Lord, that she sought the Lord there in her seat, was saved, and then made it known. We pray today, Lord, if there's others here today, and I know there is, I pray that God would speak to their heart and that they might be saved today in this service. Lord, I ask you this morning to help this preacher today. I need your help. I pray the Lord would give me of his presence and liberty today to bring something forth, Lord, that would help today in this service. We do thank you and praise you, Lord, for all you've done for us. We thank you for the free gift of salvation. We thank you for the promise of the second coming. And Lord, we ask today now, Lord, that you'd answer these prayers for the Savior's sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Again, I want to read that last part of verse 15 where the Bible said, And he was in his right mind.
Amen.
You know, we're always thinking. I don't think we ever stop the thinking. Sometimes when maybe we're asleep, we don't know if we are thinking, but a lot of times even then, we're having dreams or we're thinking about other things. So really, I don't think the mind ever stops thinking. The devil works on the mind.
Yes, amen.
If you don't know that, get that truth this morning if you don't get anything else.
Listen, yeah.
The battlefield is the mind.
Right.
Brother Sheets says all sin starts between our ears.
Yeah.
And a lot of truth to that. Amen. And sometimes a thought can be like an arrow stuck in that you can't pull out.
Bless him,
Lord. You want to quit thinking about it, but you can't quit thinking about it. Has anybody ever had that experience?
Yeah. Amen.
You don't want to think about it. It's not a good thing to think about, but try as you may, do whatever you can, the thought seems to reoccur again.
Bless him.
Now here's a man that has been thinking wrong. We know that because the Bible said now he's thinking right.
Yes, right.
Here's a man that had been thinking wrong, and because he had been thinking wrong, he had been acting wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
The Bible said that he was acting wrong. They couldn't tame him. They couldn't do anything with him. Because that he's thinking wrong, he's living in the wrong place.
Yeah.
No person living ought to be living in a graveyard.
Right.
Right.
And yet the Bible said he had his dwelling among the tomb.
Amen.
And because he's thinking wrong, he's doing the wrong thing.
Right.
Right.
The Bible said he's screaming, he's cutting himself.
Right.
Trying probably to commit suicide, and he is doing the wrong things. But we read in the scripture that Jesus came and Jesus got him thinking right.
Amen.
If you're not thinking right this morning, I hope Jesus comes and I hope he gets you thinking right.
Amen.
Now, he's not the only person in the Bible that ever thought wrong. The Bible tells us, and that's where I'm going to preach from this morning, in Luke 15, verses 12 through 24, there's another man there, and the Bible tells us he was thinking wrong. Now, most of you are familiar with the story, but in case we have maybe some unsaved person that's not been around the Bible a lot, or around preaching a lot, I'll just say that this is a story Jesus told about a prodigal son. And he came to his father, and he asked his father if he could get his inheritance early. And he went down in a far country, and the Bible said he spent all he had down there, wasted all he had. And the Bible said in verse 17 that he was brought to bankruptcy. He was brought to despair. And in verse 17, the Bible said, and when he had came to himself.
Yeah.
In other words, something happened there to this man. Now, also because he was thinking wrong, he asked for the wrong thing.
Right.
Yes.
He said, Father, give me the inheritance that belongs to me. I want it now. I don't want to wait. He asked for the wrong thing. Sometimes we ask for the wrong thing. Sometimes you can ask even God for the wrong thing, and sometimes God will let you have it.
Yes,
right.
Because that's the only way he can let you see that you don't need it. So here was a man that was thinking the wrong thing. He asked for the wrong thing, and it was granted. He got what he asked for, and then because his thinking is still wrong, he went for the wrong place.
Amen.
The Bible said he took his journey into a far country.
Amen.
A place of sin, Brother Eddie, if you will. Las Vegas, if you will, or some tremendously sinful place.
Amen.
And he went there, and it was the wrong place for him to go. People usually go to the wrong place when they're thinking the wrong thing.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And he got down there, and because he's thinking wrong, he's doing the wrong thing.
Amen.
You say, what's he doing? The Bible said that he's living in riotous living. He's doing things that he was taught not to do. He's doing things that he was brought up different than to do. But because he's thinking the wrong thing, he is doing the wrong thing.
Amen.
And I think it would be safe for us to say this morning, I believe it would be safe for us to say that he is in the wrong condition.
Right.
You say, what do you mean? He's in a hog pen.
Yes.
What do you mean? He don't have any money. He don't have any food. He don't have anything like that. He wasn't raised that way, but that's the way he is. And the Bible said that he wound up in the wrong condition. Can I tell you that many times that we wind up in the wrong condition because our thinking is wrong?
Amen.
But I'm glad to tell you that in verse 17, the Bible said that he got his thinking right.
Yeah.
Said when he had come to himself, he said, when he had come to himself, I think it'd be safe to say, of course it's a parable, but I think it'd be safe to say in real life, the parable's been through many times, and I believe it'd be safe to say that probably there were some things that led to him getting his thinking right.
Yeah.
Probably the prayers of his father.
Yes.
Maybe his mother. The scripture didn't say anything about a mother. Maybe she had passed. Maybe it was just the father. But for whatever reason, we know that they were caring, loving parents in the parable. And maybe they prayed for him. And maybe that helped him to get his thinking right.
Amen.
Certainly the predicament he found himself in, it made him search his heart. He found himself in the hog pen. He found himself broke. He found himself with no friends. They had all left him. And so he began to do an analysis on himself. And when he did, the Bible says that he came to himself.
Amen.
Now, here's what I want to preach on this morning for a few minutes this morning, if you'll listen this morning. I want to preach on how to know when you're thinking right. How to know when you're thinking right. Did you know a lot of people out here in this whole world are thinking wrong?
Yes. Amen.
That's why the world is wrong. Amen. Because so many people are thinking wrong.
Yeah.
And sometimes even people in the church, even saved people sometimes, they begin to think wrong. Amen.
Yes.
I'm sure that every one of us would be honest enough to admit there's been times in our life that our thinking was not right. And if we will also be honest enough to admit when our thinking was not right, we were not right.
Amen.
But here's a young man, and the Bible tells us, we don't have to guess about it in both cases. The Bible said that Jesus had this young man sitting and clothed and in his right mind.
Amen.
In other words, he's thinking right now.
Amen.
The Bible says in the story Jesus told about the prodigal, it said when he had gained himself. In other words, he's back to his senses. Sometimes we say they're out of their mind. Well, he had been out of his mind, but now he's back to his senses. He's back to right thinking. And the way we know he's back to right thinking is the same way we know you and I are thinking right. And I want to say three things this morning real quick. If you're thinking right, your thinking will be right about God. The Bible's note is clear here that the Father, though a physical Father, it's very clear here that He is a representative of God the Father. Now, when the boy wasn't thinking right, he wasn't thinking right about his father. But when he got to thinking right, thank God, he got to thinking right about his father.
Amen.
Now, some people are thinking wrong this morning, and you see, they're like this prodigal here. You see, some don't believe there is even a God. They don't even believe there is a God. That's wrong thinking.
Amen.
That's getting more prevalent.
Yes.
As the country gets more deep into darkness and sin, and the more educated people get, it seems like the more ignorant they get. And that's the Bible. The Bible said, by wisdom the world knew not God. By worldly wisdom, it said them thinking themselves wise, they became fools. But when they think wrong about God, some don't even believe there is a God. Well, the Bible says if you think that way today, the Bible says you're foolish. The Bible says the fool is in his heart, there is no God.
Amen.
How can you look at all the evidence that God has put here in the world? How can you come to all of that and at the bottom of the equation come up with the fact there is no God? You have to dismiss your mind, my friend, and not even be thinking, realize there's not a God, a creator of all of this.
Amen.
They don't even believe there is a God.
Bless him, Lord Jesus.
Some thinks God wants what they have.
Right.
Some people don't come to church because they and often hear this, all they want is my money.
Yeah.
They often say that they're not thinking right.
Amen, Brother Rick.
How would God, they said all the silver's mine, all the gold's mine. How would God that said all the earth and the foundations and everything there is God? Why would God want your measly $2 in your wallet this morning? God does not have to have your change or your dollars or your hundreds of dollars to run His church. He's proved that for 2,000 years. Some think God wants what they have.
Amen, Brother.
Some think God wants to withhold from them.
Oh, man.
That's what Adam and Eve first saw.
Yeah.
The devil said he's withholding this from you because he knows if you had this, that you'd be wiser, you'd be smarter, even though you have all this other stuff, and they felt like God was withholding from them.
Amen.
How many people this morning are either in church but not saved, or out of church and not saved because they feel like God would take away all their fun. They feel like God would take away all the things they enjoy I promise you this morning that God will not take away one thing you enjoy that is not sin.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
Amen.
Amen. You see, he thought his father was withholding this book from him. Amen.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
You see, he thought his father was withholding from him. He thought his father somehow or another didn't want him to have this. And his father, it's an inheritance. His father's laying up for him.
Right.
Right.
God has much to give you.
Amen.
When you get to the right place at the right time when He can give it to you. Amen. He can't give you some things now because you're not in the right place. Amen.
Right.
And then some think God must have sent them to hell. That's what they're thinking. They're thinking, God can't wait for me to die. Listen, God don't have to wait for you to die.
Right. Amen. Right. Right.
God says, die, you're dead.
Yeah, man. Right.
Some say, God is wanting to send me to hell. Oh, how can you look at Calvary and 2,000 years of long suffering and ever come up with the thought that God wants to send me to hell? God does not want to send you to hell. Amen.
Amen.
But when you get to thinking right, you'll know this about God. Number one, you'll know that God is a loving God.
Amen.
God is a loving God.
Amen.
For God so loved, the Bible said. 1 John 4:8 said, God is love, the Bible said. I read many years ago about an old farmer that had a weather vane on the top of his barn. And across the air there, it had written, God is love. A passerby one day came, and he stopped and inquired of the farmer about the weather vane on his barn. And he said, why did you put that up there? I said, God is love. He said, because, he said, it don't no matter how the winds of this world may blow, it don't matter what direction they may point, God is love. Amen. I tell you, this boy, he didn't realize how much his father loved him. But when he come to his right thinking, he began to realize that there is a loving God loves you. And that God's not want you to go to hell, and His thoughts concerning you are good.
Amen.
And I say that when you get to thinking right,
bless you, Brother Rick,
you'll realize that God is a merciful God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You see, His friends wouldn't help Him. Nobody else would help Him. But he thought of one that
Amen.
He knew that his father was a merciful man. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad that God is a merciful God.
Yeah.
You say, why are you so glad that God's a merciful God? Because if he wasn't, I would have already been consumed. The Bible said it's by his mercies that we are not consumed.
Amen.
I tell you, they might not find no mercy out here in this whole world. You might not find no mercy among our friends and family and all of that. But God is a God of mercy.
Amen.
I'm glad that His mercy is everlasting. And when you get thinking right about God, you'll realize that God is not a God that hates, but a God that loves. When you get to thinking right, you'll realize that God is a God of mercy. It's all through the Bible. God has mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Matthew 5, blessed are the merciful.
Yeah.
They shall obtain mercy. God is a merciful God.
Amen.
Not only is God a loving God and a merciful God, but God is a forgiving God.
Thank you, Lord.
And when you get to thinking right, you see, this boy went back. And he had a pretty good idea or he wouldn't have went back.
Right.
He had a pretty good idea that God, that his father loved him. He had a pretty good idea his father was merciful. And he had a pretty good idea his father would forgive him. Amen. I'm glad that God forgives. You say why? Because man sins. Man messes up. Man has problems.
Yeah.
I gets off track. But thank God. There's a God in heaven, and when you get to thinking right, you may be here this morning, you say, you don't know what I've done, you don't know where I've been, you don't know where I've been turned away from. Oh, no, I don't, but I do know this. God is a forgiving God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
On the cross.
Yeah. That's right, Brother Rick.
Right. Man has mistreated God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They spit on him. They plucked his beard out.
Right.
They beat his back.
Yeah.
Amen. They jeered him. They mocked him. They cursed him.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
All these things.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
But when God, who Christ was,
right,
when he's raised up on the cross,
yeah,
and the cross is dropped in the hole with a thud,
yeah,
and when his body quit shaking, he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Sometimes we do things we don't realize what we're doing.
Amen.
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 But I'm glad that God is a forgiving God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
You've asked God to forgive you of things.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked God to forgive me of things.
Me too, Brother Rick. Amen.
You say, has he?
Yep.
Well, if you asked him,
yeah,
right,
you'd have to say, I don't know, because I don't remember that anymore.
Amen.
I've cast that in the sea of forgiveness to be remembered no more against you.
Amen.
The Bible says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sin.
Amen.
I'm glad on the authority of God, and because of the Bible's got me thinking,
amen,
I know that God is a loving God, God is a merciful God,
yeah,
and God is a forgiving God.
Amen.
People want to start this old stuff, but, well, what about adultery? Or what about people who's been married 5 or 6 times? Yeah, what about it?
Yeah.
God is a forgiving God.
Amen.
And he don't forgive on a partial way. He don't forgive on a part. God forgives a way. He is a forgiving God.
Thank you.
You're thinking right. You thank God about it.
That's right, Brother Rick. Praise the Lord.
Number two, when you get to get thinking right, you'll think right about guilt.
Yeah.
You see, when people aren't thinking right, verse 18, he said, I'll rise and go to my Father. I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, make as one of thy hired servants. Again, he says in verse 21, I'm no more worthy. You see, there was a time in his life that he did not think he was guilty. He wasn't thinking right.
Right.
He didn't think he'd done his father wrong.
Right.
Right.
He didn't think he was somewhere he shouldn't be.
Right.
His thinking wasn't right, Brother Jack.
Yeah.
But listen, Paul said in the book of Romans, he said the reason for the writing of the Romans in the first few chapters and the giving of the law,
yeah,
is that all the world might become guilty before God.
Amen. Amen.
When you're thinking right, when you are thinking right, you don't say things like, I haven't done nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
I don't deserve hell.
Right.
I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
God wouldn't send nobody to hell. I hadn't murdered nobody. I hadn't robbed the bank.
Yeah.
I put it all them.
Yeah.
Right.
You're thinking
from.
Amen.
Amen.
According to the Bible, this man was thinking right now.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And when he got to thinking right, he got honest.
Yeah.
He said, Father, I have sinned.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When you get honest, when you get to thinking right and get honest, you'll have to admit you're a sinner.
Amen.
If you don't admit that, you're just not thinking right this morning.
Amen.
When he got to thinking right, he didn't say it in the hog pen. He didn't say it when he had the money. He didn't say it when he was having parties. He didn't say it on the way down to the far country. He didn't say it when he was leaving the house to get his money.
Right.
But there came a time when the Bible said he came to himself,
yeah,
and he said, I have sinned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
I have sinned.
That's
it. It was honest.
Yeah.
Right.
God loves honest.
Yes.
Amen.
Sometimes you'll see some old sinners get up and they're They're so honest it almost embarrasses you what they say, what they tell you.
Right. Yeah.
But God loves that.
Amen.
God loves honesty.
Amen, brother.
Really, David said that he desired truth in the inward parts.
Right.
You see, God knows us on the inside. You know me on the outside. God knows me on the inside.
Amen, brother.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
God knows us on the inside.
Amen.
But the Bible says that this young man came to a place of honesty. He was no longer saying, I don't deserve hell. He was no longer saying that was rightly mine. He was no longer saying any of that. But he said, I have sinned. That's what got me in this mess.
Amen.
Amen.
Why I'm in the hole, Phil.
Right.
Why I'm in the park.
Yeah.
Why I'm broke.
Yeah.
Why I'm like this.
It'll get you there.
Amen.
It's honest.
Amen.
Are you honest? Am I honest with God? When God speaks to us, at the end of a service like this, and God speaks to us, and we invite folks to come to the altar to praise, to get saved, to pray, to ask God to forgive them. Are we honest with God? He desires that.
Yeah.
Amen.
I believe it'd be safe to say that he was honest about his guilt because of the condition of his heart.
Right.
Now, don't you believe this young man's heart was broken? I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that his heart was broken when he came to himself about how he'd done his father, because the first one he thought about was his father.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
You know, when we get to thinking right, our heart gets right.
Amen.
The reason people's hearts ain't right, Brother Eddie, because they don't think right.
You're right, Brother
Eddie. For as a man thinketh in his heart,
so is he.
So is he.
Amen.
The Bible says.
Amen.
And here he is. And he's got a broken heart. I believe that he's come to the Father. I believe he's probably crying as he starts up the road. He comes to the Father. His heart's broken.
Yeah.
His broken heart moves his Father.
Amen.
Psalms 34, 17,
yeah,
or 18. The Bible said, a broken and a contrite heart thou will not despise.
Amen.
God just can't hardly turn that away.
Amen. Amen, Brother Rick.
God is so compassionate and loving and merciful God that when he sees somebody that's truly heartbroken, thinking right, when he sees somebody coming in that way, God will not turn him away.
Amen.
I'll tell you, if you come down proud and you won't confess and you won't get honest, God will turn you away and you'll leave the same way you have. He came because the Bible said God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, the Bible says.
Amen.
It's hard.
Yeah.
There is its humbleness.
Amen.
Can't you see him leaving with a pretty good roll of money?
Right.
Father must have been pretty wealthy. He had a farm.
Yeah.
Right.
He had an inheritance enough for both sons.
Right.
He had the fatted calves. He had servants.
Yeah.
So he must have been pretty well off. I'd say he had a pretty good little chunk of change.
Right.
And he's leaving. He's going down that road. And boy, he feels 10 feet tall. Amen.
Yeah.
A young preacher preached one time. And he come up in the pulpit. He was so proud and arrogant, like many times we are as young preachers.
Yes.
And he come up there, and he was so proud, and he boasted, and he told the people how much he knowed, and how much he'd read, and how much he remembered, and he told them about all of his biblical education, and all of that, and he started to preach, and the whole thing flopped. And when he started down, defeated and beaten, and everything, he come down the steps. His pastor was sitting right there. And his pastor said, son, he said, I don't know what happened. He said, son, if you would have went up from there, the way you come down from there, things would have been different. I want you to know that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Amen.
And here we see the holiness of this guy. He says, I'm not worthy.
Amen,
Brother Rick. I always tell when people are thinking right.
Because
their testimony says things like, I deserve hell.
Right.
I deserve to go to hell. I used to hear this, you deserve to be in hell when your back broke. When you're humble, you realize there's nothing in me worth anything until I get saved and God puts the Holy Spirit in me.
Amen.
When you get humble, you realize I can't make it on my own. That's what he realized. I can't make it on my own. I need help. I'm going back. back to my Father. That's humbleness, my friend.
Amen.
I tell you, God likes humbleness. He said, I'm not worthy.
Amen.
He'd be a son.
Yeah.
That's like saying, I'm not worthy to be son.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And he said, I'm not worthy to be a son, I'm not worthy to even be a hired servant. A hired servant wasn't somebody there all the time. That's just somebody they hired to help them out during times when maybe crops were coming in and things. And he said, I'm not even worthy to be one of them. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I remember a lady that wrote me a card. And at one time in her life, she wasn't thinking right.
Bless you, Lord.
But after preaching and praying and reading the Bible and the Lord, I'm sure, dealing with her and showing her and helping her. She sent me a card and she said, I'm not worthy of heaven. I deserve hell. I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
That's thinking right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's thinking
right. That's right.
We see that when you get right with God, when you get your thinking right, you'll think right about God, you'll think right about guilt.
That's right.
And number three this morning, I'll be done. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and I will go to my father.
Amen.
When you get to thinking right, you'll think right about God.
Amen.
You'll think right about your guilt. And you'll think right about going back to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Praise the Lord, Brother Zeke.
He has been thinking right about the far country. He wasn't thinking right when he was going down there while he was living there, while he stayed there. He wasn't thinking right until he waited till all of his friends gone.
Right.
Listen, I'm glad. I love that. 35 years of preaching, verse 18. I love that verse, verse 17, when it said he came to himself.
Yes.
I can feel that.
Yes.
Amen.
Because I've been that young man.
Yeah. Amen.
I remember the morning I came, I said, bless you, Brother Rick.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll arise and I'll go to my Father.
Yes. Yeah.
You got to thinking right, amen?
Amen.
You see, this morning when a person wants to leave God, then there may be somebody in here like that.
Right.
You're thinking about leaving God.
Mm.
If you leave God, you're not thinking right.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean by leaving God? Well, let's say you want to leave the Father's house. That's what he wanted.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to leave the Father's house. I'm going out into the far country. He's not thinking right.
Yeah.
You say, how do you know he's not? Because the Bible tells me in verse 17, he does start thinking right. And so, if you're thinking about leaving God, if you're thinking about leaving church, if you're thinking about quitting serving God, you're not thinking right.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
Hard. You'll be able to know when you start thinking right.
Amen.
You say, why? Because you'll be thinking about going back to God.
Hey,
yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Going to God.
Hey, amen.
Amen. I sure do like to see people get to thinking right.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, when you get to thinking right, you'll have some resolve about it.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the King sung that song this morning, I am resolved. Mm-hmm. And in verse 18, the first two words, he said, I will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you get to thinking right, you'll quit talking like you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Bless you, Lord.
Right. You'll start talking like you can't.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
People say, well, I quit church, I can't live it. I quit church. I just can't do it. I just can't do like other people are. You're not thinking right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
When you get to thinking right, then you will talk like this. I will go back to my Father. I will go to church. I will serve God. I will live for God.
And
like you see, when you get to thinking right, you have a resolve about it. And resolve involves your thinking. And when you get to thinking right, how you'll do right. And if it is right, God will help you do it. And you'll be able to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, good. Amen, Brother Rick. That's it.
Resolve. Amen. There was a time in my life that we were sporadic in and out of church. I looked at folks like some of you, and what wondering how they done it. I thought, well, good for them, but that ain't for me. I couldn't do that. I like to fish.
Bless him, Lord.
I like to hunt.
Bless him, Father.
I like to lay in bed late on Sunday morning.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
I wouldn't think of that.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
When I came back to my Father,
yeah,
he began to get me thinking right.
Yeah, mate. Amen.
I got two boys here this morning. They're grown men now. I don't think they'll ever tell you that I got up on any given Sunday morning and said, boys, come in here. We're meeting at the table. We're going to decide if we're going to church today. Didn't happen.
Amen.
You say, why? Because there came a time in my life when I realized as a father, as who was responsible for my family,
yeah,
it was up to me to get up and to get ready and to get down to the house of God.
Amen.
You say, why? I decided I could do it by Jesus' help. I could do it if anybody else could do it. And for over 40 years, I've been doing it by the grace of God.
Amen.
You say, why? I was resolved to do it. I got to thinking right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I could go some more places than that, but I won't. And when he got to thinking right, and he went back, he had resolve, and he had repentance.
Yeah.
He said, don't see no repentance sitting there. Well, read verse 12.
Yeah.
And the young of them said to his father, give me the force of goods that follow me, and buy them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He didn't want to be with the father. But there's repentance in it in verse 18. He said, I'll rise, go to my Father.
Amen.
You see, repentance is changing.
Yeah.
What it means, it's repentance is changing your thought about God.
Amen.
Repentance is saying is changing your thought about your guilt, like I preached.
Amen.
Repentance is changing your mind about going to God.
Yeah.
Maybe you sat there week after week and you said within your heart, when the invitation sung, I won't go up. But today you have repentance, and today you say, I'm going forward. I'm going up. I'm going to God.
Amen.
Amen.
There's repentance in this thing.
Amen.
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 Same thing with the other fellow, Mark 5:18.
Yeah.
He wanted nothing to do with God or religion or Jesus, and most people don't if they're not saved.
Right.
But we see that when he got to thinking right,
yeah,
He didn't just want to be with Jesus. He wanted to live with Jesus.
Yeah.
He said, I want to go with you. I want to stay with you.
Amen.
Yeah.
And when you get to thinking right, church is not a burden. God's not a burden. When you get to thinking right, you want to be there.
Amen.
You want to be a part of it. You want to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Good things, bad days, high spiritual level, low spiritual level. If you're thinking right, you want to be where God is.
Amen.
Yeah.
And thank God, when he got to thinking right, the reward started coming.
That's right, brother.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love this. He arose, came to his father, and when his father was yet a great way off, his father saw him.
Thank you, Lord.
He had compassion.
Thank you, Lord.
And he ran and fell on his neck. Now, Christ still realized that he came and ran and fell on his neck. The boy must have been on his knees. Another indication of humbleness.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Because his father kisses him on the back of his neck. And he says, and the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called a son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe.
Yeah.
He didn't say we're going to start out with some goodwill stuff. And if it does all right, we'll give him something.
Right.
He wasn't like Corey and Ashley, that little baby they got. They didn't bring it home from the hospital and set it out on the step and say, we're going to watch it for a little while, and if it acts all right and does all right, we'll make it part of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what? No. When it came home, it came in.
Amen.
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 I'm glad God, when it come back, he didn't say, so we're going to watch you for a little while.
Yes.
Oh, let's say we'll give you 6 months to a year of probation.
Yeah.
You do all right, don't mess up. You'll bring it on in with all full privileges. And I tell you,
bless him, Lord.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Hallelujah. See, we're glad.
Quicker than a second. When I got to thinking right, got my heart right, God restored full privileges.
Amen, brother.
I could pray as good as anybody.
Hallelujah.
I could ask God for what anybody else asked.
Yeah.
I could expect from God what any other's children could expect.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm saying, listen, I'm saying, thank God that as soon as the boy got to thinking right, as soon as he acted upon that, God started rewarding him.
Amen.
So get the best road. And it is the best road.
That's right, brother.
And he said, you know what? Don't just put it on.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
He didn't bring it to him, throw it at him, say, here, boy, put it on. No, he said, get the best road, and you put it on.
Yeah.
You put it on.
Yeah.
He's tired. He's traveled a long way.
Yeah.
You put it on.
Yeah.
Why did he put it on? Oh, well, maybe he couldn't put it on himself.
Yes.
Right.
Bless him, Lord.
Yeah.
I know he gave me the best road.
Yeah.
I couldn't put it on myself.
Amen.
And I'm glad he put it on.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say why? Because if only he could put it on, only he could take it off.
Yeah. Hey.
Amen.
Hey.
And he said, but the Father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him.
Mm-hmm.
Put a ring on his finger.
Yeah.
Put a ring on his finger.
Yeah.
So what's that ring mean right there? That means that me and that lady back there on the third row in the red sweater are one.
Amen.
That means what's hers is mine, what's mine's hers. Amen.
Amen.
So he told the boy when he come back, he got to thinking right, he said, put the ring on him. He got full privileges.
Amen.
Got excess. He don't have no money, but I got some.
Oh yeah.
Amen.
He's got excess to it. And then he said, put a ring on his hand, put shoes on his feet.
Yeah.
And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it.
Yeah.
And let us eat and be buried, for this my servant's dead. He's alive again. He was wrong. He's found. He was lost and he's found. They begin to be buried.
Now, hallelujah.
Watch this from verse 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Five verses. When that boy got to thinking right, within five verses, his whole life changed.
Amen.
And if you get to thinking right this morning,
right.
I don't know how many steps it is down here, or like she showed you, you don't even have to come down.
Yes, Lord.
But however far it is from you to start thinking right and doing right.
Amen.
Your whole life will change.
Yes, it will.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you this morning for this few verses there, the Word of God that jumped out at me the other day.
Great truth.
And Lord, I just Friday night actually sat in church service, Lord, and spoke to my heart those words. He was in his right mind. Lord, I pray this morning that we have all, Lord, took this scale this morning to see if we're thinking right. Are we thinking right about God? Are we thinking right about our guilt for sin the way we're living? No, we're thinking right this morning about going back to God. I hope we all are, and if not, I pray that we all will be. We thank you and give you the praise for whatever happens here. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's stand.
Fourth arcane.
person pray softly. We'll tell you, if you're lost this morning, and you're not coming to get saved, you're not thinking right.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
Know the greatness of life. Know the uncertainty of life.
Yep.
Know the awfulness of hell, the wonderfulness of heaven.
Yep.
If you're not coming this morning to get saved, you're just not thinking.
Yes, that's right.
Bring your brother, Lord.
My grandmother used to say, put your head on board and think right.
Yeah.
You need to think right this morning.
That's right.
You need to come to God this morning if you're not saved. If you're out of the will of God.